Steve, thanks. Yes, Wendy.
I was just going to say we should have had Terry Hummert in for Middays with the Beatles.
No, you're absolutely right, Wendy. So true. Hard to believe, but it was 50 years ago that this song and the album Abbey Road came out. Gary Wenstrup is here, a music historian, to talk about that incredible event. Hello, Gary.
Hi.
Great to meet you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Hard to believe, right? 50 years? That seems impossible.
I know, and thank goodness people are still interested in buying it and listening to it and talking about it. That's awesome.
Well, I'm sure you'll agree that album is as relevant today as it was 50 years ago. It's still, when people hear it, you still, like, just now as the first few chords are playing, your heart beats a little faster.
I heard that too. It was calming in my case.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. The music is just sort of part of our DNA, and it still speaks to us. And Wendy was mentioning her kids, who are teenagers, like the Beatles, and how wonderful is that? It's multi-generational.
And that's what it is when a lot of teenage people, and even younger, their parents listen to the Beatles. How can you not like them?
Yeah.
You know, there's some quiet, there's some raucous, there's some psychedelic. It really encompasses every kind of musical style.
I agree. I met a gal recently, our age, and she was saying she hated the Beatles.
Hated them.
What? How could that be? And she didn't have a good reason. I think she's just being a contrarian.
Did she also hate pizza and water?
Yeah, we don't want to hang out
no,
with her.
That's no good.
You get this, like, Rolling Stones or Beatles things, and for a while I was thinking the Beatles were kind of overrated and the Rolling Stones were more experimental. But when it was pointed out to me the short amount of time that the Beatles did what they did, I have to eat my words.
I'm pleased to hear it. Actually, I'm developing a lecture. We mentioned that I lecture at libraries, Beatles versus the Rolling Stones. I think that would be fun. And I was thinking you sort of set it up on, like, different points of reference, like longevity or sales or leader boundary breaking, you know, who would win where.
Yeah.
Certainly the Rolling Stones, hands down for longevity.
Yes.
But almost on any other scale, I think the Beatles are winners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go back 50 years for a second.
Yeah.
All right. So in October, Abbey Road comes out.
Right.
The Beatles were already having a fairly decent year because earlier in the same exact year, Yellow Submarine had come out.
Right.
And yet, those two albums have such different personalities. That's not by accident. That's on purpose, right?
That's the Beatles. They change. They never wanted to repeat themselves. They're going down a particular path with a particular sound. And they're like, okay, we did that. We're tired of that. Let's go in a different direction. I mean, just to go from Sgt. Pepper to the White Album is, you know, that's a dramatic
what a 180.
Change. Yeah. A 180 indeed.
Have you walked down Abbey Road, either of you? And taking the picture?
I have not. Have you, Gary?
I have not.
Because I see every... No,
yeah,
I've never been there.
Yeah, it's fun when you see somebody doing it.
And I love it. I love to see that on Facebook.
Yeah.
Everybody does it. I'm sure it's very crowded with people trying to take pictures without having strangers in it.
And your shoes on.
Yeah, right.
Right. So we'll talk about that. Before I do that, I was researching my lecture on Abbey Road. And I didn't know this existed. You guys may know it. There's some things called Earth Cams. So they're cameras positioned all over the world. I Googled it. I can't figure out how many.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is trained on the Abbey Road crossing. So anytime, day or night, 24/7, you can go online and see what's going on at the Abbey Road crossing.
Oh, that's excellent.
And anyone who has been there will tell you it's a busy street.
Sure.
And there's no stop sign. There's no traffic light. So you've got cars whizzing.
Dangerous.
You know, dangerous while everyone's trying to do their Abbey Road picture.
But isn't it, wouldn't you agree, it's probably the most famous crosswalk in the world because of that album cover?
I would agree.
I can't think of a competitor.
That works for me.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the personality and how different it was from what they had just done.
Sure.
For a lot of bands, when you establish a certain sound, you don't want to vary from it too much because your fan base gets upset. The Beatles didn't seem to care about that. They just succeeded.
To your point, a lot of bands, they come up with a sound that the fans like, and they keep pushing that sound. And the Beatles went where they wanted to go, and it was up to us to follow. So they, changed the paradigm.
Yeah.
We had to follow them. You know, they weren't going to follow us.
I'm laughing because every time you see footage of the Beatles concerts, Bill, you always ask this question, why girls would just scream because they're not hearing the music. It's like, what would cause somebody to do it? And it makes me laugh
it's
every
funny.
Time.
They just scream.
So what? Why do you think? I have a theory. Well, it's not a theory. I did some research on it. Do you guys have a theory on that?
Ringo scared them?
No, they're just so overwhelmed. They're just... That's my theory. That's the only thing I've got.
Yeah, and I think that's it. A lot of it was... It's a safe release for girls. It's something that girls do together.
Yeah.
And they can... You may not appreciate
this.
No. But they also... It's a safe sexual... expression.
Really?
You know, they're preteens. Maybe they're in that world a little bit and
they need a release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For I can think of better ways, but
yep. You'd get kicked out of Shea Stadium for that one. I know that for a fact. But it's so funny to see. It's like an impulse that all the girls just collectively have. Yeah. They see the Beatles. They don't even hear the Beatles. They just hear screaming.
Right.
And they scream.
Indeed. I don't know.
But it
frustrated the Beatles. You know, one of the reasons they quit touring is everybody's screaming. No one's paying attention to the music. So the Beatles aren't really working hard to be great musicians anymore.
Yeah.
And
they
figured,
they're just going to scream. Yeah, why bother indeed? Yeah, it wasn't rewarding for them anymore.
How much of the magic of this particular album of Abbey Road is the Beatles, and how much of it is George Martin, or is it fairly even?
That's a great question. You know, George Martin, to his credit, he always sort of steps back and lets the Beatles be the star. He never takes much credit. What makes Abbey Road particularly interesting to Beatle freaks who know this stuff, it's the first Beatles album recorded and mixed in stereo. All the other albums were in mono, mm-hmm. and they looked at stereo, and then they kind of moved on. And they also had upgraded the Abbey Road studios, which, by the way, the studios are named after the album, not vice versa. Anyway, they had updated the studios so it had better technology. So Abbey Road, to my ears, is the richest, lushest, fullest sounding Beatles album. And that's to George Martin's credit. But without incredible songs, who cares how... you know, nice the sound is.
Were they writing to the idea that it would be heard in stereo, so maybe doing the orchestration just a little differently or not?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I don't think so. This was the only album that they focused on stereo. They may have played a little bit with bringing things on the right side and then moving it to the left, so maybe a little bit, I don't think so, no.
Gary Wenstrup is with us. He's a music historian. I am so terribly sorry I missed your lecture at the LaGrange Library. I live in LaGrange, but you have some other appearances coming up.
I do. I don't remember them off the top of my head.
I'll help you out. November 4th, the 50th anniversary of Abbey Road, the Beatles at the library in Crete.
Okay.
November 5th, the Beatles, their history in 1 hour, Forest View Library. That's close. Maybe I'll go to that. Okay. And then you're doing Motown Music That Moved the World at the Naperville Library on November 7th. You are a music historian, and I understand you have brought... some Beatles trivia questions. Can we take a break? And then Bill's going to beat me.
I don't know. You know this stuff pretty well, too. So between the two of us, we should do well, Gary. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Start doing a little research during this break.
All right, we'll study up. Gary Wenstrup is here. We're talking Beatles, 312-981-7200. If you'd like to chime in, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
This might be the best song ever.
This is great.
I'm sorry.
This is great.
I'll say that about each and every song.
Gary Wenstrup is here. He's a music historian. He's here because the Beatles Abbey Road album is celebrating its 50th anniversary. And it just recently, right? October the 1st?
October the 1st was the release date in the United States. If you were in England, it was September 26th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just for the perfectionists.
And these are the times, it's hard to imagine this now, but when the top 10 was posted every week, the Beatles always had two or three or four songs in the top 10.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Incredible. Everybody loved them.
And all the songs were 1 minute and 3 seconds long.
So true. They packed it all in 2 minutes. They got the hooks in.
When the album came out, it was an immediate hit, both critically and by the audience, right?
Oddly enough, not critically as much. The New York Times called it, quote, an unmitigated disaster.
Oh.
And I've read the review, and frankly, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I think his point was it wasn't socially relevant. It didn't address the Vietnam War. It didn't address civil rights. Which is maybe why it feels timeless now.
Yeah.
But I think he felt the Beatles had an opportunity to share an agenda, and they didn't do it. Rolling Stone magazine called it flawed but fine.
Hmm.
Gee, thanks.
Hmm. Fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think they'd go back and amend those reviews a little bit today?
Absolutely.
They would, yeah.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, it's the Beatles' best-selling album of all their albums. It's their best-selling.
Yeah. You have some quiz questions that you'd like to run past Wendy and me.
I do. We're going to see just how deep your Beatle knowledge goes. And they're multiple choice, except for the first one.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. What is the order on the cover of them walking across the street?
I don't know. And I could cheat right now because it's on my screen. I'm not looking.
That's on us.
Is it John, Paul, George, Ringo?
No, that's a good guess. No, it's...
It is, I'm just going to guess, Ringo, John, Paul, George.
Is it Bingo, Flegel, Drupal, Snark?
This quiz may not go so well.
No, I'm telling you.
It's John, Ringo, Paul, and George.
I knew Paul was the second one, I guess, as they're walking.
Okay. A side question before you get to the next question, unless one of your quiz questions is about this. But the idea of Paul not wearing his shoes, which we alluded to earlier, led people to believe, naturally, that he must be dead. You wouldn't put a guy on the cover of an album without shoes on if he hadn't passed away. Please explain.
Crazy. And it's one of those things that comes up in the lecture. People love this whole Paul is dead thing. I don't know why that phenomenon exists. It began in the Midwest, by the way. But anyway, Paul did have sandals on that day. It was a hot day in August when that cover photograph was taken, and he says he took off the sandals because he thought his feet would be cooler
on hot pavement,
on hot asphalt.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He put the ass in asphalt with that reasoning.
All right, should we move on?
Yes.
All right, so all the rest are multiple choice. All right, so speaking of the cover, how many pictures do you think the photographer took to get that iconic picture? Mm-hmm. So it's multiple choice.
All right.
1, 6, or 11.
All right, I'm guessing.
All right, go ahead. When
I'm
your
saying
guess?
One.
Okay.
I'm going to say 11.
And it's 6.
Oh, God, we stink.
Nice job, you guys. Wow. I think maybe I need to be a permanent guest here.
Yeah,
just
maybe.
To work with this.
I hope your next question is spell Beatles, because I can do that.
So anyway, but that fascinates me. Only 6, clicks of the shutter.
Yeah.
You picture photographers, they're taking, angles and the light and different lenses and all that sort of thing. So it was just 6 photographs. And the one that was chosen was the only one, and in my lectures I show all 6, the only one where they're all in step.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Should we move on?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So
embarrassing.
Yesterday is the most recorded Beatles song of all time. Actually, it's the most recorded song of all time, but obviously the most recorded Beatles song of all time. What's number 2? Something, All You Need Is Love, or Here Comes the Sun?
I'm going to go with Something.
I'm going to say All You Need Is Love.
Wendy's leading.
Nicely done, Wendy. Congratulations.
Yeah. So it's interesting that George Harrison's composition is the second most recorded Beatles song. This is hard to track, but they have... historians have done the top 10 most recorded songs of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So, Over the Rainbow is in there, and Summertime, When the Living Is Easy, that's in there. But there's 3 Beatles songs: Yesterday, Something, and John Lennon's Imagine. So of all the music
ever,
3 of the most recorded songs
it's
are
impressive.
Beatles songs.
It is. That's impressive. Very impressive.
It is impressive.
Do you have
Octopus's
one more?
Garden?
No, it's not.
It's not Octopus Garden. Okay,
it should be, Bill. I'm with you.
All right, we're on to number 4. What song had a Shakespeare influence? Here Comes the Sun, Golden Slumbers, or The End?
Golden Slumbers.
I'm going to say the same.
It's The End. Mm-hmm. That's a hard one.
God, we are horrible.
Oh, come on. Don't beat yourself up. It's Friday.
I do know that. All right, I'll let you answer this question.
So Paul has said that he knew or learned that Shakespeare ends all of his plays with a couplet.
Mm-hmm.
So the couplet that ends the album, and in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make.
Yeah. Oh, There's your influence right there.
There's your couplet.
Now, the Beatles, is it true that they kind of took Buddy Holly, the Crickets, and wanted to do something like that, but spell it differently so it wasn't the Bugs? It meant it was a double entendre with the beat, like musically.
When do you win that one? Yeah. That's absolutely right. Yeah, Crickets. John named them. He loved words that had dual meanings.
Yes.
So Crickets, it's an insect. It's also a sport in England. Beatles, also an insect, yeah. But you change the spelling to emphasize the beat of rock and roll.
Gary, we have exactly 4 seconds, so this is a great question. Yes or no, Yoko broke the Beatles up?
No.
Nope. Absolutely right. She did not. And I'm sick of her getting blamed.
Did she break up other bands?
She didn't help matters, but it's not her fault.
But it's not her fault. Yeah. All right,
it would have happened inevitably.
I will stop blaming Yoko.
Yeah. I think you have to let it go, Bill.
I'm going to let it go.
You
so nice to meet you.
You are amazing. We do need you up once, more often,
once
rather. I was going to say that.
Once a week.
His name is Gary Wenstrup, W-E-N-S-T-R-U-P. You can go to GaryWenstrup.com. He is a music historian. He has other appearances coming up throughout the first week in November, and all your appearances are there. Yeah. On your website?
Yeah. And Gary, the classes I teach as well are there.
I got to take a class.
Definitely.
We have to learn.
Yeah. We'll do better next time, Gary, I promise. So nice to meet you, Gary.
Great.
Thank you for coming up.
Here.
That's Gary Wenstrup.
And the news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.